Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 22, if you will. Matthew chapter 8, verses 18 through 22. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart unto the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus saith unto him, The foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And another of his disciples said unto him, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my Father. But Jesus said unto him, Follow me, and let the dead bury their dead. And when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. In your priority list, where is the will of Christ? That is, when you get up in the morning or when you plan your day, your month, your year, where is Jesus on that list? Where is the will of Christ? Is it above personal comfort? Is it above even your family? Jesus makes it plain that one must follow him above all other considerations. But there are two that are usually the problem when we're talking about following Jesus. Personal comfort, family concerns. With regard to the personal comfort, the apostles were warned. Luke chapter 21 and verse 12. Luke chapter 21 and verse 12. Jesus says, But before all these, they shall lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and into prisons, being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. The apostles were told, This is not going to be easy, you're following me, because the servant is not greater than the master. And so what the master receives, the servant's going to receive. You're going to be delivered up. You're going to be hounded. You're going to have some discomfort, maybe pain, death even, if you follow me. Jesus tells them time and time again that he is going to the cross. And you're going to have to take up your cross daily and follow me. What does it look like to follow Jesus? The apostles tell us that. The apostles, even though they're being persecuted, they are willing to get up and go. They know that they're going to be hounded from place to place, but they get out of their comfortable homes and they go. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Can you imagine for Timothy what it is to follow the Apostle Paul in the work of evangelism? I mean, the man's been everywhere. He's done everything. He's suffered every indignity. And he's trying to make it to where Timothy knows that's what he is to do as well. He'll never be what Paul was, neither will any of us. But we are to go and suffer the same things Paul did. We are to do the work of an evangelist, Timothy finds out. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12. Yea, and all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. You're recruiting this young man and you're telling him persecution's coming. And so, the priority of Timothy has to be Christ before comfort, evangelism before the easy chair. He has to go out and do the work and not just think about it. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. You really ought to put this one on your memory list if it's not there yet. The apostle says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Where was Christ on Paul's priority list? He says, I am crucified with Christ. Crucifixion is always a picture, and always has been a picture of obedience. That Jesus went to the cross, and his priority of following God's will was so strong, even to the point of being crucified. And so Paul says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. What was his priority? Compared to comfort, Paul walked the streets, teaching and preaching. Paul suffered indignities. Paul suffered stoning unto death. Christ raised him up to go and do it again. Personal comfort is not to be a consideration when we're choosing our priorities. Oh yes, there's some adjustments made back and forth. No one wants to go to a country, and I don't believe we're required to, that would put us to death for preaching the gospel. No, even the early disciples, they went to other places rather than suffer death, but they still preached the gospel from place to place. Personal comfort never comes first. What about family concerns? I've known all my life that there have been some who, because of a holiday, they stayed home and entertained rather than being in worship. Or they had the ability and the talent to go out and preach the gospel, but they never even began to train themselves to do that. Sometimes because of family members who said, what are you going to do when you're fired and you don't have any money? And what are you going to do when this happens and that happens? You're going to starve. Some of them even go so far as to say, and I won't help you a bit because you made that decision. Just to get you to stop and not go and preach. Family concerns, should they come first in your priorities? No. Jesus comes first. The kingdom comes first. The Father comes first. The gospel comes first. These are the things that are our priorities. There's two ideas to be crushed here. First is that family comes first. You know, my grandfather was an interesting man to know. He went, was part of that greatest generation. He went through the Great Depression. He had a great work ethic. Had bad language too, but in those things he really shined. He could stay on a job longer than anyone else could until he had that heart attack. He was really something. He was my buddy when I was young. Until I started putting the gospel before my family, and then I wasn't his buddy anymore. At the end, when he was about ready to go, he didn't appreciate my Christian walk. Family comes first. It's not true. The idea should be that the kingdom comes first. The gospel comes first. Notice some things. Jesus held his family as high priority, but not above duty. Matthew chapter 12, verses 47 through 50. Matthew chapter 12, verses 47 through 50. Then one said unto him, behold, thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to speak unto thee, or with thee. But he answered and said unto him that told him, who is my mother and who are my brethren? And he stretched forth his hand toward his disciples and said, behold my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. The brothers and sisters and even the mother of Jesus at this time was outside of the group that were being taught, and we're probably wondering, why are we being put on the back burner? Why are we being left out in the cold? Jesus had a job to do, and they always had known that. Jesus was simply doing what he said he was going to do, was living the life that the Father gave him to live, doing exactly what he was doing when he was 12 years old in the temple. He has business to take care of. That business was first in his life. If we are to be Christians, notice that word Christ is in Christian, then our priorities must be the same. The second idea to be crushed is that service to God can wait. Well, that's a very impractical thing to say, first of all, because sometimes death comes suddenly. Both of my sisters, I may have told you this, but both of them in an instant lost friends to trains. They were where they shouldn't have been. My sister, each of them, would probably have been in the car with them if my mother hadn't said no. That you had no business being out that late. And in an instant, as the Bible said, in a twinkling of an eye, that quick, they lost their lives, and you could too. And so the saying that we can put off service till later simply doesn't work on a practical level. We may never get to it, and yet we've been commanded. Now is the day. Today is the day. This is the day that we are to serve Him. And learning is serving. Doing that which God commanded. Learning so we can teach. Serving under someone else so that we can serve. Those things, learning is serving as well. The apostles are our examples in this matter of priority. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. Matthew chapter 4, verses 18 through 20. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. What did they do? What would we do if someone like Jesus came along and said, I want you to follow me? You know, what they had been doing was their job, and it brought in an income their whole lives. They knew that job. They knew that they could provide for their families in that way. They didn't know anything about being traveling evangelists. They didn't know anything about being students, but they were determined to follow Jesus. Jesus called. What did they do? And they straightway left their nets and followed Him. This is the priority that they had placed on following Jesus. Jesus calls, and they left their nets straightway, right now. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee with John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Same situation. They're in business. They're taking care of their families. They're taking care of themselves. They're active in their community. But Jesus calls. What do they do? And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed Him. The ship, that was their livelihood. Their father, that was their family. That Jesus calls, and they go. I wonder how we stack up. I wonder how we measure up to those that Jesus called. And make no mistake, He has called you. We all have some part to play in the gospel, and we have to be about doing those things. Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. It's all about priority. What have you placed first? What priority is God going to place upon you at the judgment if everything is second place to you? Mark chapter 10, verses 28 through 30. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all, and have followed thee. You called, and we've gone. You said, to get up and follow me. Leave your nets, leave your family. And that's what we did. Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands for my sake, and the gospel's, but he shall receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children, and lands with persecutions in the world to come, eternal life. Now, it's tough to deal with that statement sometimes. Where did I get houses and lands? Where did I get new brothers and sisters? I got them in the gospel. And people have allowed me to use their things. People have allowed me to stay in their homes. This is where this comes to pass. Personal comfort. Family concerns. What do we find Jesus doing? Does Jesus allow anything to come before his duty in the gospel? He came to seek and to save the lost and went so far as to be crucified to get that done, to get our atonement taken care of. He takes care of it first. Does it put it off? Does it first? What about family? Did he put them first? His brothers and sisters wanted to keep him quiet. His brothers and sisters were mocking him with regard to his statements of being the Messiah. Did he put them off? Did he listen to them and delay trying to take care of family matters first? No. He went and preached. He went to the cross. He went to take care of God's business. And that's what we must do. How about family concerns for us? Family comes first? No. Beat that idea back down. Beat it back to the devil. It's a lie of his. God always comes first. He did in the garden. He did at the Tower of Babel. He did among the children of Israel. He did in the life of Abraham. He did in the life of Israel. And so he does when we get to the Christ. There was one that went before him, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, John the Baptizer. And God came first in his life and showed people the way. And when Jesus began to preach, he began to preach the same as John did, the kingdom is coming. The kingdom is at hand. Be baptized for the remission of your sins. Be prepared for the kingdom's coming. He didn't say, why don't you come back next week and we'll take care of that? No, his idea was now. Let's get it done now. Be ready for the kingdom because you have no idea when it's coming. And we must be ready for the end because we do not know when Jesus is coming again. We don't know. He hasn't told us. He said even the angels don't know. Only the Father which is in heaven. So we must be prepared. And the time to prepare is now. There is no other time. The past, you can't prepare in the past. The future, have no idea when the event comes. So the future is wasted. Now is the time to prepare. But it must come before personal comfort. With regard to baptism, some people are nervous about getting up in front of other people. But personal comfort is to be put aside. And God's business is to be done first. Some people will say, well, I can't stand up and speak before other people. I just can't do it. I'm afraid of it. But personal comfort must be put aside. In fact, I stand before you as a testimony of that being done. I'm not saying I'm heroic or anything. But if you were to ask my senior English teacher whether I was going to be a preacher or not, she would have said, you are nuts. Absolutely. She told us she wanted book reports every week, and they were to be done orally. But if you can't do that, if you're uncomfortable, you can write them out and take 10 points off automatically. Every one that I turned in was written, every one, because I couldn't get up and talk before people until someone told me I had an obligation. that the gospel told me that I was to do so, because that I had the mind to study, and because I had an opportunity. And so I said, well, my personal fears have to be second place. And then third place, because other things come up. Family comes first? No. Service to God can wait? No. Personal comfort? No. How can we stand up today, call ourselves Christians, knowing what the first century Christians went through, and not be willing to do it ourselves? Leave personal comfort behind, take up your cross daily, and follow Him. He is worthy. He is deserving. And if He is our Master, we are to get up and follow Him. There may be someone here today that needs that message and needs to take heed of it. Put personal comfort behind, put family concerns behind, and walk with God. Walk with Him today. Obey His will, and leave your own will behind. If you need to be baptized for the remission of sins, today is the day. If you need to repent of something that's been keeping you from God, today is the day. Why wait until one more minute, but you're not promised? Something may stop you just in a twinkling of an eye. If we can assist you in your obedience, won't you come and sit on one of these front pews as we stand and sing?